with Tom running his own restaurant on Pine Street between Hollywood and Sunset Boulevard.
Kellogg's Pep and Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes serve you breakfast in Hollywood. Friends, nowadays our restaurant is specializing in not only steaks, but also delicious hams and crisp pork sausages. And here's where they come from. No, it isn't a fat little piggy or a grunting old sow. It's just that big old boar, Tom Brennan.
Thank you. Good morning, ladies. And hello, everybody out there at the other end of the network. Good morning from the ladies having breakfast in Hollywood. Here we are starting another week of these daily visits, which some laughingly call a radio program. It's rumored. What an introduction. Again, we have a house full of ladies and their lesser halves. They come from all over the nation, too. Seems like Southern California is just full of visitors these days. People taking that vacation that they've kind of been putting off for a long time. And we're going to find out where some of them come from as we open this ivory flakes portion of our little shindig. I think we'll start with you. Who are you?
I'm Mrs. Clarence Young, and I come from Orleans, Cape Cod, my summer home.
My, you were a long way from home, aren't you?
Yes, my first trip.
You spend your winters out here, do you?
No, I've never been here before.
Oh, your first trip to California.
Yes.
Well, you've had some mighty nice weather.
I love it.
Oh, sure.
Love
cold
it.
Back there now, isn't it?
Well,
it's lovely in Cape Cod in the summer.
Lovely there, and we hope you'll come and see us sometime.
Well, thank you. I accept the invitation.
Very happy to welcome you, Cape Cod.
Oh, fine.
Do you
have a place there that I can sleep? And
I do, and I can give you twin beds and private baths.
Twin beds and private baths? Do you set a good table?
I don't. Well, I can.
Well,
some good lobsters.
You have good lobsters.
Clams and oysters.
You don't by chance run a boarding house, do you?
No, I do not.
All right.
But I like good food.
What?
I like good food.
Well, that's fine. Well, you leave your name and address before you go, won't you, Miss Young?
I will.
Well, you can't tell where I'll wind up. I don't know. And who are you?
I'm Mrs. Arnold Flint from Ettrick, Wisconsin.
Good. Oh, buddy, what's your name?
Corporal Arnold Flint from Ettrick, Wisconsin.
Well, it's good to have you with us. And let's see. Let's go over here. We have a buddy over here in the neighbor. What's your name, sir?
Name is George Simmons.
From
Plymouth, Michigan.
From Plymouth, Michigan. Just get the little lady here. Who are you?
Natalie Jordan from Los Angeles.
From Los Angeles. And you?
Nellie Burroughs from Hollywood.
Good. Those ladies in the wheelchair. Now that we're going up here and meet some other folks, let's stop here. What's your name?
Mrs. Edward Arnie.
Arnie.
Arnie, A-R-N-Y, not Arnica.
Yeah, Arnie. Where do you live, Miss Arnie?
In St. Paul, Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been here since the second day of December, and we come out here every winter and spend our winters.
Yes.
And I would like to come and live, but my husband doesn't want to, so of course I have to stay with him.
All right. Well, how long have you been married, Miss Arnie?
Well, to my former husband, I was married 40 years.
Yeah.
And then that was in Oregon, and my children and here buried in Hood River, Oregon.
Yeah.
Then I went home and married this schoolmate of mine.
Aww.
And his sister had married my brother, so we were all in the family. And then we decided to come out here in our wintertime. I have two grandchildren, one living in Paris. And
you mind if I pull up a chair?
One living in Monterey Park. Of course, that brings me because they're orphans.
Yeah.
They have neither father nor mother. And, of course, I'm interested in coming, but then I would like to come. And I like to come anyway, but I like it out here.
Johnny, get her a cigar with it. That'll keep her quiet.
Ha, ha, ha.
very nice. Wait, what do you say, honey?
I'll take this to my grandchild, seeing that I don't use it myself.
Okay. So you've got a pretty big shopping bag there. You wouldn't by chance have some of our silverware in there, too. She's all right. All right, Miss Arnie. Who are you?
Rose May Holden, Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Rose May Holden, Tulsa. Mm-hmm. You play bridge? Don't you? Are you lucky at cards? Well, let me tell you, if you want to have good hands, be a woman who. I'm getting around to it slowly but surely. A woman who uses ivory flakes for the dishes, as well as for her lovely clothes. Because one box of flakes is all it takes for prettier, younger-looking hands. And that's right. If you play your cards right, you won't stop with ivory flakes in your smart clothes. You'll realize your hands deserve the same break, too, and you'll pour those glistening ivory flakes into the dishpan. Now listen, if you wash dishes with a strong wash day soap, well, don't be surprised if your hands get to looking as spotty as the Ten of Diamonds. And if you've got losing hands because you finessed with the wrong soap, let me urge you, start dishwashing in ivory flakes, the pure, mild flake form of baby's ivory soap. One box of flakes, don't forget. One box of flakes is all it takes for prettier, younger-looking hands. That's the winning trick, ivory flakes for dishes. For a double reason, ivory flakes are faster sudsing, too. They spring into suds faster than you can trump your partner's ace, faster than the fastest leading wash day soaps. Learn the rules of the game. For speed, for suds, for prettier, younger-looking hands, and here it comes. Only one box of flakes, that is all it takes. Your ivory flakes. We're going to, you can't fool me with that applause, I know that. We're going to, for a hat now. Where you going, Miss Arnie? Huh? What'd you say? What is it, Miss Arnie?
Ladies can smoke if they want to, but it affects me.
Oh, you...
So I just thought I'd move over here.
Well, come on up here, Miss Arnie. Mrs. Won't bother us there a little bit. Put her up here in the chair.
Yes,
right there.
How do you do,
everybody? You're what?
I'm 83 years old, I forgot to tell you.
Oh, you're 83? Yeah. Now, you behave yourself. We're going for a hat now. I saw that one, Johnny, and I see another one back in there. Yeah. That kind of looks like a green potter puff or something. I spotted another one, too, somewhere. I don't know where I saw it. No, that wasn't it. It was down somewhere. Well, they're full of those potter puff numbers this morning. There it is, yeah. I see. Oh, this is a little dandy. What's your name?
Ann Granny from Buffalo, New York.
Well, come on, Ann, get it off. I want to try it on. What's your name, buddy?
William George Rump.
From where?
Philadelphia.
Rump?
Rump.
Rump.
Jill McAdee of St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. She's always in the Navy. Yeah, this is it. Just look at that thing. Well, it's just only about a half, it looks a half of a bean. And it has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 little feathers on them. It looks like the the south end of a rabbit going north. I wonder how in the world anybody would concoct a model like that. Takes Bobby so long. Right down on the top of my head like that. Come here, help me get get out of this. What are they? Oh, so they are. They're little... No, they're horses' heads. I didn't notice that. That must be the horse of me. Five little horses. Would you take it back and also take those... That's a pair of ring clear nylons. They won't last fast. Little gift. Thanks for your hat, honey. Huh? It's ridiculous. Well, we're going to award our wishing ring, huh? How you doing, Miss Arnie?
Oh, fine.
That's good. Who are you, sir? You're a swell audience. What's your name?
Stanley Marshall from Berlin, Wisconsin.
Fine. Mr. Marshall, will you draw a number out of here?
And this is the Kyle Grace from Long Beach.
Well, this will win our wishing ring. It's, a low number, 27. 27. Hello, Chief. Where's your home?
Dalvin, Illinois, I guess.
What's your name?
James Bolivar.
James?
Bolivar.
Bolivar. Huh? He's Chief. Hello there. And who are you?
I'm Rose Blackford from Dundee, Illinois.
Rose?
Blackford.
Oh, Blackford.
Yes.
From Dundee, Illinois.
Dundee,
what
Illinois.
What part of the state is Dundee, Miss Blackford?
Well, I'm so excited to tell you right now.
All I mean, is it close to Chicago?
Yes, it's about 35 miles northwest of Chicago.
Oh, well, it's a suburban district of
yes.
Chicago, really.
Uh-huh.
I mean, you have a lot of people live in Blackford and work in Chicago, is that right?
In Dundee, you mean.
I mean in Dundee, yes. That's what I meant. And to tell me Mrs. Blackford, did you raise a family?
I have two daughters.
And where are they?
I have a daughter in San Diego and have a daughter in Fox River Grove, Illinois.
Oh, yes. And you're out here visiting your daughter
yes.
in San Diego?
I came over 2,000 miles to see my birthday present.
Your...
A little granddaughter.
Oh, isn't that nice? Born on your birthday.
Born on my birthday.
Mm-hmm. When is your birthday? What is your date of your birthday?
12th of December.
The 12th of December. Isn't that grand? Your first grandchild?
No, my second grandchild.
Second. Uh-huh.
I have a little grandson in Fox River, Grove.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Well, that's very interesting. Does the baby look like the mother or the father?
Well, my daughter says it looks like her, but has her husband's ears.
Poor Poppy always gets it, doesn't she?
My son-in-law is the manager of the Enigmata Hotel at San Diego.
So, what is he? Is what?
He's the manager of the Enigmata Hotel.
In San Diego?
In San Diego.
Oh, Enigmata.
Yes.
He's manager.
Yes.
He's been in the hotel business good many years?
Well, off and on, he's been in the service. He was in the service 4.5 years.
Well, what did he do in the service, Miss?
He was in the Marines.
In the Marine Corps.
Yes.
Well, this is the wishing ring you won, Mrs. Blackford.
Well, it certainly is a thrill. I had no idea that I'd ever get this near to Tom Brenneman.
Well, I got big ears, too, you see. Well, Mrs. Well, that's all been nice. Let's put it on the pinky finger, shall we, Miss Blackford? Now then.
That's beautiful.
Well, we think so. We're very proud of those. Now I want you to make a wish.
Well, I heard Mary Pickford make her plea for the donation for the March of Dimes for the polo victims, and I think that would be a nice wish.
Well, I think it's a grand wish you're making. Uh-huh. And we just hope that everybody will do their very utmost to meet the quotas in the various localities.
Yes, that was my wish.
Well, that's a grand wish, Miss Blackford. I just know you'd make a wish like that. Yes, let's put the March of Dimes way over the top. Miss Blackford, come here. Because you made that wish, I'm going to give you a box of these lovely roses. Well, she didn't think of herself. There you are.
Thank you. I never thought anything like this would ever happen to me.
Well, you never know. You're in Hollywood now, honey.
Yes. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you for that wish. And good luck. Well, that will about conclude the first portion of Breakfast in Hollywood, brought to you by Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes. Fewer flakes, mild flakes, their ivory flakes.
This next portion of our little shindig brings you greetings from the grand old Kellogg Company of Battle Creek, Michigan. Kellogg, makers of pep, good pep. Here's our good neighbor letter, then we'll meet Uncle Corny. The good neighbor letter this morning comes from Los Angeles in Hollywood. Very unusual letter, and certainly my pleasure to read it. So, dear Tom, along with several other of the famous members, more famous members of the Lakeside Golf Club, I am writing you relative to a good neighbor who is a former president of this club. He is Maury Luxford, who lives at 10118 Riverside Drive in North Hollywood. A former star athlete and an officer in the First World War, Maury Luxford did more for the war effort in World War No. 2 than any other man connected with the game of golf. He's an ardent golfer, and during the war, he arranged all the victory tournaments staged throughout Southern California. He did not play in them himself, but had all the hard work of arranging them. I know how hard he worked, Tom, because I was with him on many of the tournaments. It is a matter of record that through Maury Luxford's efforts, more than $1 million worth of war bonds were sold, and more than $50,000, yes, much more, was raised for worthwhile charities, mostly charities from which servicemen benefited. Hundreds of Hollywood's leading personalities gathered the other night to honor Maury Luxford. It was a remarkable thing for Hollywood when there's generally some underlying motive for a testimonial dinner, but this was just a dinner to a swell guy. And I think the ladies of Breakfast in Hollywood would like to join in recognizing Maury as a good neighbor. You couldn't honor a more deserving or nicer man. Very sincerely yours, the letter is signed by Braven Dyer of the Los Angeles Times, Jack Carson, Bob Hope, Charlie Colburn, Jimmy McLarnon, Edgar Kennedy, Oliver Hardy, Pat McCormick, and countless other members of the Lakeside Golf Club. Well, this is the very first time since the inception of our program that I've had the honor of personally presenting the Good Neighbor Orchid in advance of the reading of the letter. And at this swell testimonial dinner that Braven writes about, the likes of which I've never seen in my many years in Hollywood, it was my pleasure to present Maury with that orchid. And I feel that those of you who listen to our little program would also like to know that we have good neighbors in Hollywood. And if we had more like Maury, well, you know the rest. So this morning we honor as a good neighbor Maury Luxford, 10118 Riverside Drive, North Hollywood, California. He has been made our good neighbor today. Hello, Connie, how are you this morning?
Well, I feel pretty good today.
Well, you look pretty good.
Yeah, well, I got some bad news. Cousin Chester's in jail again.
Oh, that's too bad. What's wrong? What'd he do this time?
Well, he was sent up for burglary.
You mean he's a second-story man?
Yeah, that's right. When the cops wouldn't believe his first story, he told them the second one.
See? Well, imagine a clumsy guy like Chester thinking he can get away with burglarizing people's homes.
Oh, he ain't so clumsy. Say, with that new kit of burglar tools, that guy can open anything.
Anything?
Yeah, except the door Richard's behind.
He had a complete kit of tools, eh?
Yeah. Well, it wasn't quite complete. What he needed most is the burglar's favorite tool, a Stuart.
A burglar's favorite tool, a Stuart?
Yeah, that's a long, thin Jimmy. Don't you get it, Jimmy?
Yeah, they got it. Cut it along. Well, it goes to prove that crime certainly doesn't pay, Corny, especially when the criminal is as stupid as Chester. But Johnny Nelson told me that Chester would try to get married on his bride and groom show three different times by using different names.
Oh, that Chester, he's one of them criminals that uses a lot of aliases.
He is.
Yeah, the boys in his gang knowed him as Melonhead Mittendorf. Yeah, and the newspapers called him the Fox. Then down around the police station, they call him the Salmon.
Down at the police station, they call him the Salmon.
Yeah, because every spring he goes up the river.
Well, Well, Corny won't have to deliver the orchid this morning. It's already been presented.
Okie dokie. See you tomorrow. Goodbye, everybody.
Come on, Corny. Say, Mom, would you send your youngster off to school on a stormy day without a coat or overshoes to protect him? Of course not. Well, how about his breakfast? A good breakfast is a form of protection, too. When breakfast includes a big bowl of Kellogg's Pep, so much the better. For come winter, Kellogg's Pep, the sunshine cereal, is extra valuable on the breakfast table. Sunny-looking, sunny-tasting Pep has been fortified to fortify your youngsters. Day in and day out, snow or sleet, rain or shine, just a regular one-ounce serving of these swell-tasting whole wheat flakes provides the day's need of sunny vitamin D. Vitamin D, you know, helps build strong bones and teeth. And Pep is one of the very few foods that gives you so much of this valuable vitamin in just one serving. Besides, these crisp, fresh, golden toasted flakes provide you with a bonus of energy vitamin B1, twice as much as good whole wheat. And whole wheat is famous for fine nutrition. And besides all that, Pep is the grandest tasting bowlful you can imagine. Sunny-looking, sunny-tasting Pep is a cereal to enjoy. A cereal to depend on. Remember, day in and day out, you get sunshine vitamin D from Kellogg's Pep, the sunshine cereal. So get Pep to Pep. It's a Pip. Now then, it's orchid time. And we're going to award our lovely Armroy orchid to our eldest guest. And we know that Mrs. Arney is 83. Mrs. Arney is 83. 87. Wait. 87. Oh! 94. Well, I guess that's the winner. That was a good robust 94, too. Here she is, 94. Well, I didn't see her. Hello there!
Who are you? I'm Mrs. Sterling.
Mrs. what?
Sterling.
Well, come on, Miss Sterling. Let's go out and meet the lady, shall we? What's your first name?
Molly? Molly E. Sterling.
Molly E. Sterling. Where do you live, Miss Sterling?
I live at 2114.
Lally Ray. Ocean Park. Well, come on. Can we walk out here, Miss Sterling? Oh. Now, watch that step, honey. That's it. All right. Here she is. Right out here in the spotlight. Now, don't go too fast. Don't wait for me here. Mrs. Molly Sterling from Ocean Park is 94. What'd you say, Miss Sterling?
I say, who told you that?
Who told me that you were 94?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I've got spies all over this place. Or somebody back there, someone of your... you lean against the desk, wasn't it, Miss Sterling? 94? When were you 94?
Why, it's the 14 days of this month to be 94.
Oh, you're not quite 94.
Not quite, no. Mm-hmm. Not quite 94.
Well, pretty close.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Closer I want to be.
Closer you want to be, yeah. Miss Sterling, where were you born?
Indiana.
In Indiana.
Yes. Close to Logansport.
You lived most of your years there, did you?
Oh, I've been here about 50 years.
You've been in California 50 years?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
1897. Came in 1897.
Yes, just about that.
Oh, my goodness, that was 20 years before I was born, Miss Sterling.
I was old enough then to have a second husband.
You were old enough then to have a second husband.
Yeah.
You've been married twice, eh?
I've been married twice.
She was what? Yeah. She was February 14th, that's Valentine's Day. I told you to be quiet, Arnie. No, I didn't. That's Ms. Arnie. Back here. Come on over and meet her, Miss Sterling. She's a gabby soul. Miss Arnie, this is Miss Sterling.
I'm glad to meet you and welcome her. Congratulate you on your birthday, which will be
next.
Yes, but not so old, but what I sing and give readings.
She's 82,
you ought to hear 83.
83, yes,
the 17th day of January. Oh, yes, I expect to live as old as you are.
I told you, she gets wound up. Get her wound up and never stop. Did you raise a family, Miss Sterling?
I had three.
Three.
Three children. Boy, a girl and two boys.
How many of your family you have left?
One boy.
Just one boy. You have grandchildren?
Oh, I've got three grandchildren.
Uh-huh.
And four great-grandchildren.
Uh-huh. Four great-grandchildren.
And the oldest great-grandchildren is going to get married soon.
Will you marry soon? Why, golly, you might have a great-great-great, huh?
I assume you mean great-great.
Good.
That's always the first thing on program, anyhow.
What is it?
That's the first thing on program.
That's first thing on the program.
He's a soldier.
Oh, dear. You're wonderful. Miss, you live alone?
I live with my son.
You live with your son?
Yes.
You plan to keep the house clean?
Well, he's 67 years old. He's working every day, every night with her.
He is 67 and he works every day.
Every night.
What does he do, Miss Sterling?
Well, he's working up here in Holly, up in Deborah Hill, in a hotel.
And he works at night and you kind of take care of his home for him.
I take care of the home for him. What I can see, I can't see for him. I can't do my work and iron or pay soul and read. That's what I miss.
That's what you miss. Miss your reading. Well, you listen to your radio.
Oh, I do that every day. I get to hear you every day.
Oh, yeah? Well, I'm glad.
Yeah.
Well, Mrs. Sterling, we have a wonderful present for you.
Okay, see it holding it close to my hand.
Oh, honey, there it is. Yeah. That's our orchid.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
That's your flower, and it's for your birthday.
Oh, is that my birthday?
Yeah.
Well, I'm much obliged.
It'll keep for a couple of weeks. If you'll just keep it
in a cool place.
That's right. Keep it in a cool place.
Mm-hmm. Well,
and have you ever had an orchid before?
No. Like,
huh?
No, I never had one.
Well, I want to tell you what's the first thing on the program around here. Whenever we give her an orchid, we also give them a little kiss.
Huh?
You bet. You know, Miss Sterling, you know something? I'd like to get you a little birthday present. I'd hardly know what to get you. Huh? I'm going to give you a little money here. And I don't usually do this, but by golly, I just won a few dollars at the races one day last week. And I'm going to give you just $20. I want you to go get yourself a nice hat or something, huh?
Do you think I need it?
Well, just get it. You get yourself a nice hat and then come back, will you, and let us see it, okay?
All right, I will do that.
Huh?
I will do that.
All right. Goodbye, and God bless you, and happy birthday.
And Procter & Gamble's Ivory Flakes. When you wake up in the morning and the air is frosty, lady, that's Crumbles weather. Just calls for a toasty kind of cereal with zip and go. Calls for toasty words like crisp, crunchy, crinkly. Crumbles just fits, doesn't it? Kellogg's Crumbles, sort of sweet and mellow rich. The only cereal made in those little crinkly shreds of good whole wheat. It's Crumbles weather, lady. Time for crisp, crunchy, crinkly Crumbles. Kellogg's Crumbles. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company. Crumbles. Kellogg's Crumbles. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.
Copyright Golden AB.